If you are growing older, this message is for you. Trying to prevent aging has become an $88 billion industry in America. It's based on the research in a new book by Arlene Weintraub. The book is titled Selling the Fountain of Youth: How the Anti-Aging Industry Made a Disease Out of Getting Old and Made Millions. In 1990, the New England Journal of Medicine made a claim that human growth hormone, HGH, could be used to reverse aging. Doctors opened clinics. Patients could learn to inject themselves with HGH, for thousands of dollars, of course, to reverse the aging process. Think it worked? Today, supermarkets, drugstore aisles teem with bottles adorned with the words anti-aging. How's that working for you? 2009, Botox sales topped $1 billion. For many in our culture, in our world, which worships youth, getting old isn't an opportunity to grow in wisdom and in grace. It's a disease. Well, aging is not a disease. It is life. The question is, how are we aging? Are we aging gracefully or bitterly? What kind of older person will you be? Will you be one who ages with grace or one who grows in bitterness? Aging with grace requires growing old with God. We live in a culture that worships youth. God values age. If aging means walking with Him. Jacob, in Genesis 35, is growing old. Genesis 35, in the scope of the book of Genesis, is what we can call a hinge chapter. This is one of those hinge points in the storyline of Genesis. The story will shift from Jacob to his sons, from Jacob's generation to the sons' generation in the remainder of the book of Genesis. That's exactly what life does for all of us, sooner or later. Jacob has been the center of the story, but now his sons will become the center of the story. Jacob is 120 years old at the end of Genesis 35. He will live, he's not dying here in this chapter, he will live another 27 years. These may be the twilight years of Jacob's life, but I want to tell you that they are the best years of his life spiritually. This is the high point of Jacob's life spiritually. We've been studying his life, and my goodness, he has made a mess of a lot of things, but here is the high point of his life. These are the best years of his life spiritually, these last 30 years or so. Jacob is growing old with God, and that should be our desire, every one of us. Growing old with God means, first of all, purifying ourselves from the idols of life. Genesis 35, verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had, and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem. Some 30 years earlier, God had called Jacob at Bethel. This is where Jacob was running away from his brother Esau. He had arrived at this place, and God met him in his distress, in his fear, in his terror. God met him. And God said, I will be with you. I will take care of you. And Jacob made a vow. He said, God, if you get me back to my home, back to my land, then I will worship you with my life. And God has brought him back. God has been with him through it all, and Jacob realizes that now. God has brought Jacob home, finally, back to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. Jacob is home in the house of God. Have you spent years pursuing your dreams and ambitions while God took a back seat in your life? It happens. Your life has been busy with many things, good things many times. Your career, your family, your possessions, your hobbies, those have come to define your life over these last years. And now as you grow older, God is calling you home to Him. God is calling you back to the house of God. And you feel that pull, and you know His grace. For we don't deserve any of it. What does it take to grow old with God? Purification. Purification. Jacob gathers his family for a service of commitment and purification. Before they leave Shechem, before they go to the house of God, they need to purify themselves from the idols that have dominated their lives. We know that Rebekah had taken the family idols, or Rachel had taken the family idols with her when she left her father Laban back in Mesopotamia. Remember that story. Others had accumulated many other idols over the years. Earrings, by the way, were generally amulets or charms that were devoted to various gods and goddesses. They were idols. And so they took all of these things, they took all of these idols, and they physically buried them under a tree in Shechem. Shechem is the place of horrible sin, of horrible evil by the people there, by the sons of Jacob. They buried them all under a tree at Shechem. They purified their lives of all their idols. So what are your idols? What are the idols in your life or mine? An idol is not just a physical image. An idol is not just something chiseled in stone. An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything more important to you than God is an idol in your life. We all build our idols. Success, money, toys can become our idols in life. Hobbies and entertainment can take over our lives. Even good things like family can become an idol if we let it. Idols are those things that we devote ourselves to more than we devote ourselves to God. God wants to be first. Anything else is an idol. What are your idols? We all have them. We all build them. What are your idols? Bury them. Bury them. And come to the house of God. What is more important to you than God? Let it go. Give it to Him. Don't let that idol define and dominate your life. That's what it means to age with grace. That's what it means to grow old with God. All those things that were once so important that we just had to do it, we had to have it, we had to accomplish it. All of those things become less important than God as we grow old with Him. Growing old with God means, first of all, purifying ourselves from the idols of life. And that is exactly what Jacob does. Secondly, growing old with God means seeing God's hand in the struggles of life. Verse 5. As they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. He built an altar there, and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under an oak. It was named Alan Bakuth. According to the British art critic Jonathan Jones in his blog Rembrandt and the Art of Growing Old, Rembrandt painted old people when artists were not painting old people. Most artists did not want to paint anybody old, but Rembrandt understood what he called the dignity and character of aged faces. And he embraced the marks of time as beautiful, mysterious, and rich, according to the art critic. Do you like getting old? Rembrandt's deepest study of aging was his own, based on his own life. Rembrandt painted more self-portraits than any other artist in the 17th century. And together they tell the story of his career, of his aging process. For instance, in 1640, at the height of his career, Rembrandt painted his self-portrait at the age of 34. Decked out in elaborate and fashionable costume, he looks rather self-assured, even perhaps snobbish. He's wealthy, he's doing well. But nearly 30 years later, in 1669, the year, by the way, of his death, Rembrandt painted self-portrait at the age of 63. And in this painting, he wears a simple peasant cloak and a simple peasant beret. And his face looks much wiser, humbler, more peaceful. And the art critic concluded this: at 34, Rembrandt looks proud. At 63, he simply looks human. Rembrandt is an artist to grow old with. We change as we grow older. Yeah, we change physically, but we change in many other ways too as we grow older. And as Christians, the change should include our growing awareness of God and God's hand in our lives. As we begin to look back more and more, we ought to have this growing awareness of how God has been involved in our lives over the years. That is part of aging. That is part of growing old with God. So they travel to Bethel, the house of God, and Jacob renames it. He calls it El Bethel. It was the house of God. Now it is God's house of God. Who's at the center now? God. See, before it was Jacob's house of God. Now it is God's house of God. God has become the center of his life. Jacob is changing as he ages. He is seeing God's hand at work in his life. And God is at the center of his life now. And he has shalom. He has peace, even in the struggles of life, because God is at the center. They left Shechem in fear. The slaughter of the Shechemites, last Sunday we studied it, was a horrible, evil thing. And it brought about the danger of revenge from all of the surrounding Canaanites, who could rise up and come and kill them. But God, we're told here in these verses, God put a great terror on all the surrounding people, a fear of God on them, so that their enemies did not pursue them, did not attack them as they traveled. For God had put a fear in them of attacking Jacob and his family. Did Jacob deserve that? Not a bit. What they had done was awful. What the Israelite people had done to the Canaanites was evil. It was sinful. They didn't deserve God's protection. What do we call that? That's grace. God's grace protected Jacob and his family. And Jacob is coming to realize that God's hand of grace, he does not deserve, but God's grace was protecting him as he walked through the land. And he owes all of that to God. And he's now seeing God's hand of protection in his life, even though he doesn't deserve it. And neither do we. For we are all sinful. There are three deaths in this chapter. There's Deborah that we see here. There's Rachel. And there's Jacob's father Isaac at the end of the chapter. Three deaths. And as we grow older, we face death more often in those we love and know. These are the struggles of life. So Jacob will bury three people he loved in this chapter, and he must see God's hand even in those losses. Deborah is the first to go. She was his mother, Rebekah's nurse. Back in chapter 24, verse 59, Deborah left Mesopotamia, Aram, with Jacob's mother, Rebekah, when she got married to his father, Isaac, and traveled with him to the promised land. At some point after his mother's death, for Rebekah has long since passed away now, Deborah came to live with Jacob and his family and continue to serve and work for them. So she has served and worked for the family for 150 years. Anybody here been in a job for 150 years? She's done her job for 150 years to this family. She has been faithful, she has been loved, and she has loved them. And so she's mourned very deeply here when they bury her under the tree, which literally means the oak of weeping. That's what the word means. The oak of weeping, of crying. Sorrow, suffering, fear, troubles. Those are all part of life. They're part of Jacob's life. And as we grow older, we come to see God's hand even in the struggles of life. And we are at peace. We have shalom, for we are walking with God. Growing old with God means committing ourselves to God's plan for life. Committing ourselves to God's plan for life. Verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram. And he blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." Thus he called him Israel. God also said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. The Boeing 747 Dreamlifter is a modified plane that can haul more cargo than any plane in the world. It weighs about 600,000 pounds and usually requires a runway of 9,200 feet. But November last year, 2013, a Dreamlifter missed its intended destination at McConnell Air Force Base near Wichita, Kansas. Instead, the jumbo cargo plane landed 9 miles north at the wrong airport, the city-owned Jabara Airport. Jabara has no control tower and a runway of 6,100 feet. A spokesperson at McConnell Air Force Base, the correct airport, said the tower was in contact with the pilot, but the guy had no clue where he was landing. That's not encouraging for a pilot, for anybody else. But eventually they got it all sorted out. A replacement crew came, and after removing most of the cargo, they were able to take off on the shorter runway and get the plane to McConnell, the right airport. Where do you want to land in life? Where are you going? We are so often just like that pilot. We are making our plans. We're pursuing our goals. We're driving our lives, but we end up in the wrong place. Jacob has been like that. He landed in Aram because he was running from the sins he had committed with Laban. He suffered. He went through quite a lot of things there, got taught a lot of lessons. He lands in Shechem when God had called him to Bethel. But he stops at Shechem for several number of years, and bad things happen there. He is finally in Bethel. He is finally where God wanted him in the first place. And God talks with him and lays out his plan for him. He is at last where God wants him to be. And God says, here's the plan. Here's my plan for your life. Going all the way back to Abraham, you're the continuation of this master plan I have, Jacob. And now you're ready to listen to it. The contract that God had set up with Abraham long ago is repeated now for Jacob. He's part of God's master plan to grow his chosen nation of Israel. God repeats his new name for Jacob. He's already given it to him. He gives it to him again here. Jacob is no longer Jacob, the heel grabber or the deceiver. He is now Israel, God's fighter, or God fights for him. So God's fighter worships God at Bethel. He is a changed man. He is a light walker. In fact, many, many years later, God will call his people back to him in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5, and he will say, come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord, because they got out of that light again. They got off on their own paths. They got landing at the wrong airports. Come back, house of Jacob, to walk in the light of the Lord. Jacob has come back to walk in the light of the Lord. We need to come back regularly to walk in the light of the Lord. We come to understand as God changes us through life that life is not about us. It's about Him. We are a small part of a great plan. We are a little piece of a gigantic puzzle that God is doing in this world called His kingdom. We are a tiny part of God's master plan. God is doing something much bigger, much greater, much grander than you or me. We are just a small part of that plan. And when we commit ourselves to God's plan, when we realize that what God is doing in this world is much bigger than us, and we're going to go off the scene someday, and God's plan will continue until Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes back. And then God's plan will continue through Him. And we are a part of this master plan of God, and we aren't everything. We will slide off the scene. But God is still at work. And it's a joy to be a part of that master plan. Ken is serving young people in lockup here in the state of Maine. He is a part of God's master plan as God's good news is shared with others. He's not the whole of it. It's not about him. It's about God's grace and what God is doing in this world. Same for me as a pastor. Same for each and every one of you. We're just a part of this great plan of God to build His kingdom. And when we commit ourselves to God's plan, not ours, we have peace. We have shalom in life. We can rest in His plan and stop fretting over our plans. And that's wonderful. That's what it means to grow old with God. Growing old with God means experiencing God's comfort in the sorrows of life. Verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. When she was in severe labor, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." It came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Ben-Oni, but his father called him Ben-Yamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. So Jacob travels south from Bethel on his way to Ephrath, we later called Bethlehem. He's on his way south to see his father, Isaac. But about 12 miles north of Bethlehem, his wife Rachel goes into labor, she gives birth to his last son, and she dies shortly after giving birth. She names him Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. Jacob renames him. Not going to be son of my sorrow. Ben-Yamin, son of the right hand. Son of the right hand. We tend to figure our directions in life by focusing north. So right is east. But they didn't do that. They faced east. Right is south. He's going back home. He's son of the right hand, the one born on my way home to my father. Son of the right hand, the most important. Son of the right hand, the honored one. But Rachel is gone. She has been the love of Jacob's life, and now she's gone. And Jacob sets up a pillar to mark the spot. Some scholars believe that a stone structure called by an Arabic name, meaning the tombs of the sons of Israel, that is located there is in Israel, is the burial place of Rachel. This is tradition. We don't know if it's really true. But it is in the general proper area near Ramah. You remember later Jeremiah will prophesy that they heard the weeping of Rachel from her tomb as they passed by Ramah. The pain, the sorrow that was there. The weeping. Jacob weeps for his wife. This is the pain that never goes away in this life. On his deathbed, nearly 30 years later, you can read about it, Genesis 48, verse 7. On his deathbed, nearly 30 years after this event, Jacob will stop his blessing and cursing and his final words to all of the family to speak of the sorrow that he still felt over the loss of his beloved Rachel. He had worked 14 years for her. Growing old with God means that we experience God's comfort in the very deepest sorrows of life. Pastor Bill Hybels had a 3-hour lunch with a seasoned Christian counselor at one time, and he asked her to talk to him about grieving. He asked her to tell him what she advises people to do when they're dealing with the losses of loved ones. And she said, "Of course I tell them to feel their feelings, but then I also urge people to reduce radically the pace of their lives. I urge them to review their loss, talk about it openly, think about it thoroughly, write about it reflectively, and pray through it." The counselor continued, "It's my experience that people want to run away from their pain. They want to replace pain with another feeling as soon as they can. To recover from pain, you have to face it. You must stand in it and process it before it will dissipate. That's God's way. Bill Hybels said, I didn't do that when my father died. I replaced that pain real fast. I think I missed only 4 days of work, and I just replaced the feeling of loss and disappointment with a frenzied ministry schedule. And I ran away from it. That was a bad move for me and for other people around me. I wonder how many of us do that. Then he asks this question in his message. Anybody running from pain today? Are you trading in your pain prematurely for some other feeling? It's not God's way. Mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus said. It's okay. Growing old with God means accepting the generational transitions of life. Verse 22. It came about while Israel was dwelling in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now there were 12 sons of Jacob, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, then Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maid, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. I've said that this chapter is a transitional chapter in Genesis. And the storyline is going to shift now from Jacob to his 12 sons. And we see that in these verses. One of the hardest transitions in life is the handoff from one generation to the next, from parents to children. It has to happen. There's no other choice. We will hand off, but we can do it well or we can do it poorly. But that handoff will happen from one generation to the next. It always happens, whether we like it or not. Growing old with God means accepting this generational transfer, this generational transition of life. It happened for us, it'll happen for those who follow us. And we are at peace with God as we hand off ministry, as we hand off church, as we hand off family to the next generation. That's part of what it means to grow old with God. The responsibility shifts. The new generation makes the decisions. They do things differently as we grow old with God. It is life. It is God's way. Just like Jacob made his share of mistakes, he blew it enough, so his sons will make their share of mistakes. The first three sons all do very sinful things, don't they? The first three listed here. We have one little painful verse to remind us that our children do not always do what is right. We wish they would. But then we didn't do always what was right either. Reuben, the oldest son, has sexual relations with his father's concubine, Bilhah. Sin, evil, wrong, but it's done. And the Bible never glosses over these kinds of sins. We can only imagine, we're left to imagine because we're not told, the pain that Jacob, Israel, must have felt as sin invaded his family, but it's done. As his son betrayed him and sinned. Each generation steps up for good and bad. Just as we stepped up, and those before us stepped up for both good and bad, every generation steps up for good and bad. The sons will not always do what is good, but they will do much good too. That's true of every generation. So our job as we grow older is to hand off to the next generation. We must support, encourage, suffer with them in the choices that they make, and hand off to them even if they don't do it quite like we think they ought to do it. And love them with God's love. Daniel Meyer tells a story of an elderly woman who heard a sermon in which she sensed that God was stressing to her that she needed to invest her life, her final years on earth, in a new way and use her gifts. And she had the gift of hospitality. She loved to open her little home to people. She lived alone in a small apartment near a very large university. And she had her afternoons free. So she thought about it, and to her mind came all of the students that she saw. And so she got a stack of 3x5 cards and wrote on each one of the 3x5 cards, "Are you homesick? Come to my house at 4 p.m. for tea." And then she put her phone number and address on it, and she put up these little cards all over the campus and all over the town. After a little slow start, the homesick students began trickling into her house each week for tea. And when she died 10 years later, 80 honorary pallbearers attended her funeral, and every one of the 80 had been a student who once upon a time found a hot cup of tea, a sense of home, and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the heart and apartment of this lady. 24 years ago, I came to Galilee as pastor. I remember some of the older people in our congregation then as very, very significant leaders, supportive and encouraging to things that I proposed, some good, some not such great ideas. But they stood with me as we made transitions in ministry here and new leaders stepped up. Two women come to mind just thinking about it very quickly. One of them is Mary Ranger. Mary, our Baptocostal. Oh, I miss Mary. She stood and supported and encouraged. The other was Betty Tolman. We called her Mother Superior. She called herself that. Who stood with us in ministry, encouraged me and others in leadership as we stepped up and did things differently, but for God. They walked with God. They led our church. Now, many of us who stepped up at that time, guess what? We're aging now. Our leadership is growing older. And I want to put a challenge out there to the next generation. It's time, folks, to step up and lead this church. Many of our leaders are stepping back, and you must step up. It's the way it goes. For this church will be your church. We will support you, we will encourage you, but the job of leading this church will increasingly fall to the next generation. Will you do it? Growing old with God means remembering the past blessings of God in life. Verse 27, Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, an old man of ripe age, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Jacob and Esau come together to bury their father Isaac. It is a beautiful picture, considering all the conflict they've been through down through the years. It's a beautiful picture of these two sons who fought and were deceived and threatened murder and all kinds of things Now they come together to honor their father, saying goodbye. And the text actually points backward beyond Isaac to Abraham, the father of the clan. They can see all the blessings that have come about through Abraham. The ancient stories were rehearsed once again, for this is the way it happened. You would rehearse and retell those stories in the family. There were few written records, and so storytelling was the way to pass on the family history. And the stories of Abraham and Isaac have been recorded for us, but in Genesis, but they were originally passed on verbally as they told stories for one another. And that's the way to remember the past. You're looking back at Isaac's life, but they're looking back at Abraham's life. And look at all that has happened, and they're passing on and rehearsing and retelling those stories. And remembering the blessings of the past as well as the struggles. Even God's care in hard times. You know, I've sat with many families over the years as they gather in the final days of a loved one's, a parent's life. And I've noticed how often tears and laughter just sort of merge together as the stories are told and rehearsed and gone over once again. Shared experiences, memories bring healing, particularly as we remember the blessings of God through those times. So growing old with God means that we remember the past blessings of God and the family stories. We tell them again and again. And that is good, for God is in our lives and in our families. And we pass on to one another these wonderful things that God does. Even in the hard things, even in the tears, there is still God's kind of joy. In his book, Nearing Home, Billy Graham offers the following advice about the opportunities in growing older. It's good we have examples like him to look to. When Coca-Cola, he said, changed its 100-year-old formula in 1985, there was such a backlash, he said, that the company was forced to return the beverage that was on the grocery stores under the name of Coca-Cola, return it back to the original recipe. The trade secret had trumped the new recipe, as millions of fans said, no, we want the real thing. Maybe you don't remember that if you weren't doing much in 1985. I don't know. Too young, maybe. Anyway, they wanted the real thing. So Billy Graham asked this question in his recent book. I think it was published in 2011. He said, what does this have to do with growing old? And then he answered it with these words. These are good words to close on this morning. Old is authentic. Old is genuine. Old is valuable. Some say old is even beautiful. The generations that follow are learning about growing old from us. Are we good examples? While we have all made mistakes, the lessons we have learned from our successes and failures can help those following behind. The impact we can potentially have on them can mean the difference between leaving good memories in our place or simply being out of sight, out of mind. Father, help us to grow old with you. To grow old gracefully, not bitterly. To grow old walking with you. To pass on and support and encourage those who come behind with your love and grace, knowing we have failed and they too will fail, but knowing also that you will work through them in this church, Galilee Baptist Church, in this world, that you will work through them, for you are the God of grace and glory. We look to you, and we thank you that we are a part of your great plan in this world. Use us in the days we have, the few days we have on this earth, all of us really, use us for your glory. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.